This is Ashley Hodge coming to you after Baylor's big win at Oklahoma, 65-51. They continue to be road warriors. This is a Sikkim 365 postgame podcast. I'm joined by Kyle Stevens, a return guest and a basketball expert for sure. So, Kyle, I thank you for doing this again, and I just want to get some of your feedback on this game. It wasn't the prettiest of offensive games for sure, but the Bears turned Oklahoma over 25 times. A lot of that was self-inflicted by Oklahoma. The Bears also turned it over 17 times, but ultimately they got it done. And James Akinjo, although he played 30 minutes, he seemed to re-hurt that hip bone, tailbone, but he 4 assists, only 1 turnover, 4 steals. He was really good as a floor general and really steadied the ship. Didn't score much, only 2 points, but that bucket was a big bucket before he got re-injured. Hopefully not serious. Hopefully just a blip on the radar as far as the injury is concerned. But what'd you see today, Kyle?
Well, I agree with you. I think the key to the game was turning them over so many times. And you know what? It really didn't matter whether they're the ones that make the mistake or we're the ones that make the play to create it. You know, the bottom line is they had that meant, you know, lots of turnovers. And I felt like we took advantage of it. So I'd say that was huge. And then I felt like there were 2 3-pointers that really ended the game in the second half. And the first one was Meyer getting stuck over there on the wing. And then he makes that pivot and puts it up. That was absolutely huge. Yeah. And then Flagler, about 2 possessions later, comes down and hits a bomb from the opposite side.
Right.
And when those two went in my opinion, the game was over. I thought we made good adjustments when Akinjo went out again. This team's interesting. There seems to be 2 different flows. Like when Akinjo's in there, there's almost a different flow of the offense than when he's not.
Right.
And I can't explain that other than maybe it's they haven't played together as long, you know. I mean, you get Flagler and Cryer, and Bonner struggled a little bit today. I was disappointed. I when he came in, I was expecting more from him because he had such a great game the other night, you know, when we won on the road.
Yeah, well, yeah, the big thing with him is he made that terrible turnover, and then he sulked. And
who?
And Bonner. And then he allowed that, yeah, you know, layup or dunk on the other end.
Right.
So that was a bad 10-second stretch there for sure.
It was horrible. And, you know, I was just shocked when that happened. Yeah. But all that to say, I think the 2 things that I would say is even when he's not scoring, we are a better team when Matt Meyer's on the floor.
Plus 29 today. That doesn't even make sense because he only played 27 minutes. Well, no, yeah, that does make sense. Okay. So he played 27 minutes, but he was plus 29 in point differential when he was on the court. And I think we need to really give huge kudos to Thamba and Kendall Brown because, Thamba was so active today. He turned it over 4 times, but he had 3 steals. He had 10 rebounds. He was a menace that, you know, really caused OU lots of problems inside. And then Kendall was terrific, I thought, today. Played 35 minutes. He was plus 18. He had 8 rebounds. He had 10 points. He really did a good job facilitating. He had 3 assists. He had 2 steals. So, really, one of his better games. Flagler and Cryer, both in double digits. 16 points for Flagler, 14 points for Cryer. Didn't see much Jonathan. Jonathan, he made the 2 buckets he took when he was in there, but only 12 minutes from him. So I think they just rode with Thamba because he was playing so well today.
Well, I agree. And you could argue that was the best game Thamba's ever had at Baylor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking complete game.
Right.
And I think we took advantage of our strength made OU weak. We were so much better inside than they were, and Thamba was getting it done. And so, you know, you go with what you got.
Right.
And so I thought that was a brilliant game plan, you know, by Coach Drew and the staff. You know, we took advantage that we were better inside. I'm a little surprised that OU, they have three really good arguable guards. I
Yeah.
mean, in Hill and Gibson and
Goldmeyer.
yeah, and those three guys. It's not that I'm trying to analyze OU, but I don't like, for example, in the first half, we'd thrown the ball up 30 times to their 15.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you have guards that good that can shoot that well, and they're only putting up 15 shots? And granted, they turn the ball over a lot, and granted, this or that, but man, with three guards like that, I thought they made a mistake not cutting them loose a little bit more. And
Yeah. I mean, Gibson got loose for some threes, but Goldwire was 0 for 2, Harkless was 0 for 4. Their plus minuses on those that back court, well, their starters was pretty bad. Harkless was minus 22, but Goldwire had 7 turnovers. I mean, that was a re
yeah,
really bad game for him. Only 3 assists.
and
They've
yeah,
got to get more from him to be able
they got
to.
to get more from their guards,
Right.
or they're going to struggle.
Right.
And I thought Groves, was much better than their big guy in the second half. But the announcers on TV were talking about that foul by Meyer, which was a complete accident,
Yeah.
but that killed them. I mean,
Yeah.
they were saying, "Oh, this will be great for the team." Well, my Lord, we make four straight free throws. That's not a good thing if I'm OU and suddenly down by nine. I was sitting listening to those guys saying, "No, I don't think that's such a good thing."
Yeah,
And
Lance Blanks, I don't get why he's doing games. I mean, if that's the best you can get on there, I mean, surely there's like 50 to 100 people that can do a better job. His commentary is just so
I
strange
was
to me.
just stunned. I was
Yeah.
like, no, I've never heard of going down by nine with 4 minutes to go that that's a good thing. So,
Right.
but I'm really proud of the way our guys play on the road. And I think we've got our mojo back in terms of, confidence. We look like, even when we got behind, we went way ahead, then we get behind. Then we get it together, and what do we do? An 8-0 or 10-0 run
Yeah.
right before halftime, which makes you go into halftime. Then I also like that we went to that funky little
Yeah,
zone.
mixed it up a little bit. Yep.
I thought that that really threw OU for a loop in terms of, throwing it up on the perimeter. And then we could close so quick. If they threw it inside, we closed really quick.
Right.
And so, and then the only other thing I'm going to say is I cannot wait for Sochan to get well.
Yeah, he's going to
So,
make a big difference. Hopefully he's back for the Kansas State game, and I hope that Akinjo's injury is just a minor setback for him. But yeah, Baylor holds OU to a season low, 51 points, and they had been playing pretty well at home, even though they just lost to Kansas. This is 4 losses in a row for them. So, tough one as they get prepared for SEC play. It may be a lot easier for them to play in the SEC than the Big 12, that's for sure. But Baylor sends them out in the right way, with 2 losses. I know they're going to be in the conference for a few more years because they can't afford to go to pay the
Now, we
buyout.
don't even get me started on all that. But the best thing, Bill said the best thing after the game was over, and all those OU fans were putting their fingers up. We're number one, we're number one. And we're both going, well, you're 3-0 in the last 2 months when you combine two basketball games and a football game.
Right.
Or you're 0-3,
Right.
sorry, not 3-0. We're 3-0. They're
Right.
0-3. So I don't know, maybe they're number one in gymnastics. Because I know they're really good in gymnastics. But
Wrestling. They got a good wrestling program, don't they?
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I just, I'm telling you, with the guys we got, I feel like that losing like we did was probably, I mean, nobody likes to lose, but I think it was kind of a little bit of a jolt and took the pressure off. And I like how we're playing. We just got to get everybody well. And we got a lot of interesting options. And
Yeah.
I think we'd be a very difficult team to prepare for. And if Sochan can get back, And you're right about Akinjo's injury. Those kind of injuries are can be real nagging and difficult. And
Right.
so I'm hoping and praying that he's that it was just a kind of a bruise again and not anything terribly serious. But if we can get everybody back reasonably healthy and Meyer just keep doing what he's doing, Brown doing what he's doing, I think Kendall's basketball IQ, college basketball IQ has increased tremendously in the last 2 weeks.
No, I was very impressed with his effort, his floor game, his
Yeah.
decision making. I mean, he made a couple plays. One that really comes to mind was there was a loose ball, and his court vision is really good. You know, for
Amazing.
yeah,
Yeah.
like he fired a pass to Meyer as the shot clock was winding down, and Meyer, you know, caught the pass, converted like at the end of the shot clock. And then the other one, which I still can't believe he got this taken away, was that hook shot with the shot clock winding down, where the ball clearly looked like it left his hand with 1 second left on the clock. I don't
Yeah,
know what
that
they
was a
saw.
bad call, in my opinion. Of course, I didn't have the monitor in front of me.
Well, and maybe the only reason that makes any sense is that the clock on the TV was different than the clock that they're watching on the monitor, but that's weird. You know, you would think it's whatever we're seeing on television is what they're also going by in the game. But yeah, I mean, you know, he got that taken away, so he would have had 12 points if not for that.
Right.
But yeah, it's water under the bridge. The Bears win by 14 on the road, and they're 5-0 in road games now, 4-0 in the Big 12 in road games. They're gonna win this league if they go undefeated on the road. I know they won't go undefeated on the road, but they've got four really good wins so far, and definitely you know, put themselves in a really good position from the conference standpoint if they can just protect home court the rest of the way, and you know, continue to maybe split the games on the road. They should be in great shape. So it's exciting. Texas Tech won today, and they're playing well. Terrence Shannon's
Yeah.
back. Texas got a win against Oklahoma State. Very ugly game, but they squeaked out a win. Texas still has to play two against Baylor, two against Texas Tech, and two against Kansas. So they still have the more difficult part of their schedule ahead of them. And then TCU is actually beating Iowa State on the road. It's a 6-point game in the second half as we're doing this podcast. So that's kind of what's going on in the Big 12. And Kansas plays Kansas State tonight, I think. Right? Is that yeah.
And Kansas State's playing really good basketball
Yeah,
right
they got
now.
him at home. Yeah, that could be
So
one that
you don't really know. I mean, you know, and that guy's he's good on the defensive end. He's a good defensive coach. But we'll see what happens.
Oh,
But
there
I
yeah, that game's actually that game's going on right now, so I'm gonna
okay.
check in on that
Started.
score.
All right. Well, I'm really excited, and
Kansas
we're.
State's up by 8. They're up by 8 with
You
15
know,
minutes
that
left.
doesn't
Yeah.
surprise me. They're playing really, really,
Yeah.
really well now. And
If they win that game, that's going to be a hot team coming into Waco on Tuesday, because that will
no
be
doubt about
three in a row for them, and
it.
against three pretty good teams. They beat
Yeah.
Texas Tech, got to win it at Texas, and then of course if they beat Kansas today, they'd be on a pretty strong winning streak for sure.
Well, and something else to consider, totally switching conferences here, excuse me, is the Big Ten because, you know, everybody just thought Purdue was completely invincible, and IU beat them yesterday.
Yeah.
I watched the tail end of probably the last 10 minutes of that game,
Right.
and now that puts Michigan State, I think, leading the Big Ten. And of course, we put a knot on Michigan State's
Right.
head a few weeks ago. So, I mean, you know, it's just crazy right now, which I like. I like it
Yeah.
when there's no clear cut, you know, superstar team. It makes it a lot more fun to follow and watch, and
For
a lot of
sure.
good athletes. And we're certainly in the mix. And again, if we can stay healthy, get healthy, and stay healthy, then I like our chances. Just to win a lot of games out, and then of course come tournament time, there ain't no telling what'll happen. But
Right. Well,
winning championships is hard.
very hard. I mean, it would be terrific to win the Big 12, but I think even more important than winning the Big 12 is getting a one seed and having control of your destiny going through Fort Worth and San Antonio as a path to get to the Final Four. You know, that would be the ultimate goal. So if the Big 12 is the best conference all season long, and at the end of the day, you know, let's say Baylor finishes number one or number two in the Big 12, and they because Baylor may have wins against the Big East champions, Villanova, and the Big Ten champions, Michigan State, and you know, even who knows what with Oregon playing better, they may end up winning the Pac-12. So you know, it's possible that Baylor will have a number one resume even if they don't win the Big 12. And they've done their job in the non-conference, you know, beating Alabama Saturday at Alabama would go a long way toward solidifying that. But
that will be a really fun, exciting game and a big game for us. But really, I can't. That's just the old athlete in me, and I know it was a different sport for me. Although I played a lot of basketball, you know, as well. But I just can't think that far ahead. I'm going to leave that to you pundits like you and other people. I just want to see us take a game at a time.
Yeah.
And more important than anything is that we don't have any injuries.
Yep.
You know, like season ending type injuries for somebody or, you know, anybody on the team, because we need all of them. And if we can stay healthy and then get Akinjo back going, you know, better, especially like the first 5-6 minutes, how he shared the ball a lot, and that he wasn't even just playing point. They were even moving around and he was on the wing. He just didn't shoot the ball well today.
Right.
We could have been ahead by 18 points in the first 6 minutes if he hadn't gone
one for six. Yeah.
Five or six. Yeah, it was just a poor thing. It was just awful.
Well, yeah, everybody for that stretch. Wow, that was a really bad stretch. I think we got out to a 12-0 lead and then ended up giving that all up. I think OU had like a 17-3 run after that. But you know, then you got you know, Meyer was missing shots, Flagler was missing shots, we were turning it over.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cryer ended up with three turnovers on the day and you know.
Right. And that's my point. You know, it had its moments that it was close,
right.
But we play Baylor basketball. We were a better team, and we showed it at the end. So that's my hope long term that we, you know, I like how we're playing together now better. Brown's a lot better. Let's get Sohan back. Let's get Akinjo completely well.
Yep.
And everybody else stay healthy, which might be asking a lot because basketball's. It's tough. By the end of the year, you get pretty sore and tired. But I really like this team. They're fun to watch, and of course, we got the best coaching staff in the country. So there you go.
They're good. They've shown how good they are the last two road games, especially with James Akinjo hobbled. They've come up with terrific game plans. We've gotten back to playing championship defense and limiting. Yep. Those you know, turnovers that lead to uncontested layups on the other end. Did a really good job of protecting the basket against OU's back cuts. You know, they carved us up in that first game, but there was not easy buckets to be had for OU today. You know, most of their points came on difficult shots, rebounds that they got to kick out threes. You know, that's going to happen. Baylor just did not make it easy for them. They really did a good job protecting the rim. So that was good to see.
No doubt about it, and no doubt about it. We were just better inside, and we took advantage of it, so that was good.
Yep. Well, I got to get to the Texas Theater. We're doing an Ode to Joy premiere tonight, and if you're listening to this, hopefully some are on their way to the Texas Theater and to see the documentary. And you know, I know we're going to do another show in Waco hopefully soon, and some in other cities, San Antonio, Houston, Austin, but and Tyler. Kyle, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to do this with me. You've been listening to a post-game podcast with Ashley Hodge and Kyle Stevens. The Bears are now 17-2 in the Big 12 and, you know, very much in the hunt for a Big 12 championship and a number one seed. So a lot of good things to come. Hopefully we get a win. You get that bad taste of what happened, you know, the last two games at Farrell. We need a big crowd out there Tuesday night to support them against Kansas State, and hopefully the Bears can right the ship at home and head into the Big 12 SEC Challenge with a lot of confidence, winning three in a row. That would be the ideal scenario.
I like it.
You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast, Sikkim Bears.